morning down there in Texas, Dallas-Fort Worth area. Anybody else who's streaming the program and anybody else who's listening to the program through the website, scatteredchristians.org. And if you get on the website, you scroll down just a little bit and you'll see the Cup of Goodness picture. And you click on that and you go down and you'll find the programs that we have listed all the way back. I think we started in September sometime, maybe late August. And this is program number 70, and it's the Cup of Goodness. It's about the goodness of God. And the goodness of God is what's supposed to lead people to repentance today. The goodness of God is what people are supposed to be wanting from God, not the severity. Severity of God, which is mentioned in Romans chapter 11, verse 22, was reserved for the Jews, for God's own people, of which he would chastise and he would deal with them firmly, and which he will do again in the tribulation. Deal with them firmly, chastise them, etc., because he loves them, and all that stuff. But to the Gentiles, Romans chapter 11, he went to the Gentiles to basically show the Jews what they could have had and what they threw away when they threw Christ away. So now Christ has come back to Paul, who goes on to the Gentiles, and the teachings we hear from today, this morning, are based on Paul's teachings. He tells us to follow Paul, doesn't tell us to imitate him, he just tells us to follow him as he follows Christ, which is the risen Savior. And we learn about the goodness of God only from Paul. We learn about the goodness of God only from a King James Bible. No other Bibles talk about the goodness of God as Paul does in a King James Bible. And if you don't agree with me, that's fine. Last I knew, America still has a few freedoms left. And the freedom is to disagree, but I wish you would write to me and show me some scriptures to show me where I'm wrong. Is it me that's always right? No, it's the King James Bible that's always right. I do believe, I try to preach and teach it about what it says, not what I think it teaches. So this morning, we'll just get on with program number 70. We will finish up on fastings. We talked about fastings in the previous program. And I didn't get it quite all done because I have a tendency to bunny trail off to the side a little bit. It takes up a few minutes. And so this morning we're going to finish up fastings, and I hope I get to the point where we can talk about the foot washing ritual that takes place in a lot of churches today. Maybe somebody's asking, well, what do you care? If they want to wash their feet, if they want to wear little doilies on their heads, if they want to do this, you know, really, I wouldn't care. Except I see people falling for something in the name of God, as the preachers say, God said this, God said this, God told you to do this, God told you to do that, and if you don't do this, God will chastise you because he loves you, Hebrews chapter 12, and you need to do what I say as your pastor because Hebrews chapter 13, 7 and 17, etc., and they're wrong. It's not scriptures. It's not the scriptures rightly divided, which cleans up any confusion or contradictions. Or anything that people say, well, here it says this, so how can it say this? For example, in Matthew chapter 5, blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. So then, is being a peacemaker make you a Christian, make you a child of God? Well, it says in Galatians, you're a child of God by having faith in the risen Savior, in Christ Jesus. So how can you have both? Well, then the pastor says, well, I've been taught, God showed me this and God showed me that, and here's why. Matthew's talking about being the peacemaker. We need to be peace-loving Christians, just like Jesus was. But what about Galatians? They have this tremendous conspiracy. It's been around since Paul's day that they just reject and ignore Paul's teachings. And it's a funny thing. Funny meaning just an expression, because it really isn't funny. But people believe that Jesus Christ died and rose again, but for some reason today they don't believe in following his teachings that he taught after he rose. Now we know by studying history, last 100 years or beyond or so, that people understood to go to Paul for teaching, for the daily walk, the manner of life, for Christianity. They learned about the different doctrines we've been talking about here. Nothing new. It's just that, oh, about 100 years ago or so, a Baptist missionary wrote a book about the Great Commission and got this Great Commission all started by signs and of healings and miracles and wonders and all these things, and they started to see results and they started to see gain. And as I have pointed out in this program probably at least 70 times, if not more so, because I usually say about it in this program, that the Antichrist is getting people ready for his coming, Revelation chapter 6, when the real Christ is coming in Revelation chapter 19. So in order for the Antichrist to get people to think that he's going to be the Christ when he comes down, because in Ezekiel and Isaiah he wants to be like the Most High, so he gets the worship. So he takes Jesus' teachings to the Jews and instigates them, tries to get people to apply them during a different dispensation. It's called the dispensation of grace, which is taught by the risen Savior, and it's about the goodness of God. And the devil's got people all learning about the severity of God and the teachings of Jesus that were given to the Jews, of which praying and fasting was, of which washing feet was, and etc., etc. If you don't know what I'm talking about, you've got 69 other programs I suggest you look to, as we're going to continue on tonight, Acts chapter 14, verse 23. Well, there was a 7-minute introduction, one of my shorter ones, actually. So we go to Acts chapter 14, verse 23. What we have learned so far, that the only application for a spiritual victory from praying and fasting dealt with having devils. Howbeit, this kind goeth not out but by prayer and fasting. This is what they had to do in order to get rid of the devils that were taken into people. That's gospel stuff. Today, we're cut away from our flesh. Our flesh can still have devils. Our flesh is still wicked. It's full of sin. But spiritual circumcision, and you're supposed to be thinking, well, yes, Colossians chapter 2, verse 11 to 16 explains that. Then when a person realizes that Christ took care of the law, Romans chapter 10, verse 4, and without the law there is no transgression, sin is not imputed when there is no law, then we read in Corinthians, all things are lawful, but we also know they must be expedient. Couple strings attached to that, which we've talked about, we probably need to talk about again. 70 programs, we tend to lose track of what we're listening to, I suppose, over the time. Now, I can't imagine, before we get into Acts 14, I can't imagine that in the 50 zillion million people that are in the Dallas-Fort Worth area, that this radio station isn't being listened to at this moment by a few people in the Dallas-Fort Worth area. You must be listening. Maybe you're just kind of shoving me off to the side and you're doing your dishes, ladies, or the men are out there golfing or whatever, but you listen to the radio in your little headset or on your smartphone or whatever just to keep you entertained during the day. And now here I am, and I would like to hear from you. I really would. Does that employ for money? No, I would just like to hear from you. Oh, and if you do like the program, I would hope that you would help us continue it in the Dallas-Fort Worth area so we can take this out to some other major city, metropolis someplace, or whatever, metro cities, or whatever we call these things nowadays, or just in a small country someplace, and tell more people about what's going on in their churches and how they're being duped by people that are being deceived and deceiving more. So write to me. I'd love to hear from you. Susaman is my email address, Susaman. S-O-U-S-A-M-A-N, as in John Philip Sousa, one of my favorite composers, Sousaman at Bechtel.com, B-E-K-T-E-L.com, Sousaman at Bechtel.com, or get on the website, scroll down to the bottom, find my address on there, find my telephone, and call me on my cell phone. I'll get back to you eventually, www.scatteredchristians.org. I'd love to hear from you. So, let's get into Acts chapter 14. Let's do some more of the fasting thing. Let's kind of close this thing down. As I stated earlier, fasting was there for miraculous removal of the devils that were in people. Howbeit, this kind goeth not out but by prayer and fasting. Because they weren't getting it done, in other words. They didn't have enough faith, Jesus talks to them. Remember, those days, they had to operate by their own faith. And that's the only place you find out as far as praying and fasting had any kind of results from God. And like I've said, if you want to fast, go ahead and fast. But just don't say that God told you to, and don't make a deal with God that if you fast, he'll heal you of your sickness. You might get healed from your sickness because a fast was exactly what you needed to do, was to quit eating all that cancer-causing stuff. Maybe that's how that thing worked out. And God can heal whoever he wants. That's not a problem. Please keep that in mind. Just remember that he doesn't do it through anybody, and you can't make him a deal, and you can't promise him this, and you can't pray and fast to make it happen. He can still heal anybody he wants, but he's not going to do it as a sign for somebody, and he's not going to do it as a result of a deal, like I've said. So let's go right on to Acts 14:23. And what we see, let's go up to verse 19. I said 14:23 because that's where it says he prayed with fasting. But let's get the whole story in verse 19. And there came thither certain Jews from Antioch and Iconium, who persuaded the people, and, having stoned Paul, drew him out of the city, supposing that he had been dead. Wow. How many know that Paul got to that point in life, supposing that he had been dead? Howbeit, as the disciples stood round about him, I mean, they're looking at him, they're thinking he's dead. And when he gets stoned like that, I would be dead. He rose up and came into the city. This Paul's quite the guy. But just remember, Paul is not the Son of God. Paul is not my Savior. Paul is my apostle. Paul is another man. In fact, before he became Paul, he was a mean Saul persecuting the church of God. Howbeit, as the disciples stood round about him, he rose up and came into the city, and the next day he departed with Barnabas to Derbe. Not bad. I mean, the guy gets stoned out. He's like everybody, he's like he's dead. And then he gets up, and the next day he walks to the next town. And when they had preached the gospel to that city and had taught many, they returned again to Lystra and to Iconium and Antioch. Now, do you have a Bible that's got the missionary trips of Paul? People talk about Paul's missionary trips, but they never talk about what it was that Paul taught on those missionary trips. I don't know, you know, figure that one out. Confirming the souls of the disciples and exhorting them to continue in the faith, and that we must through much tribulation enter into the kingdom of God. And when they had ordained them elders in every church, and had prayed with fasting, they commended them to the Lord, on whom they believed. And after they had passed throughout Pisidia, they came to Pamphylia, and when they had preached the word in Perga, they went down into Attalia, and thence sailed to Antioch. Remember, that's where they were first called Christians, by the way. For whence they had been recommended to the grace of God for the work which they fulfilled. And when they were come, and had gathered the church together, they rehearsed all that God had done with them, and how he had opened the door of faith unto the Gentiles, and there they abode long time with the disciples. Now remember, this is still pretty new. I mean, these guys are going off to the Gentiles, and there's still Jews around. There's still Jews paying attention to what's going on here. Look down to verse chapter 15, verse 1. And certain men which came down from Judea taught the brethren and said, except you be circumcised after the manner of Moses, you cannot be saved. They're there. They show up again. When therefore Paul and Barnabas had no small dissension and disputation with them. It's a whole other story. It's not part of our subject this morning, subject matter this morning. But it just goes to show the Jews are still there and are still harassing these guys. And what Paul and Barnabas are doing, they've got to be able to visually show what's going on. We're still looking for signs. So all these things that are taking place were done for signs. But this particular fasting, was this a ceremonial ordination and a ceremonial praying with fasting so these guys could go off and be blessed by God? And when they had ordained them, verse 23, ordained means they just charged them to go, chose them to go and charged them to go. And this, they can do that. That's not a problem. And prayed with fasting. Okay. There's no harm in fasting. Now look at what we do today. Usually what we have going on in our churches, and I know I've been there and done this, that we usually have some kind of a get-together and a buffet. We're just the opposite today, actually. I'm not saying it's wrong. I'm just saying it's interesting. Back in Paul's day, they want to send these guys out to a bunch of different cities, and so they did. You know, they ordained them. They charged them to go. They made this thing. We need you guys to go do this, and they prayed with fasting. And we choose these guys, have this ordination ceremony, lay our hands on them, and all this gospel Jesus teaching stuff, the signs of wonder stuff, and ordain these guys, and we pray with buffets, potlucks, marvelous food, potlucks. The ladies just really cook up a storm with those potlucks, especially in the Midwest. I would think Texas potlucks are quite the thing, too. But during Paul's day, they really did fastings instead. Now, would that bring people to your church? So listen, folks, we're going to send off Clyde Jones there. He's been with our church for 25 years, and he's learned some da-da-da-da, and he'd like to go off to North Dakota to tell people about the risen Savior. So you have a get together, you know, and they invite people. Well, we're going to, you know, kind of send them off. And you like to come. Now, we'd like you not to eat for a couple of days before you come visit. Oh, like that'll bring people to your church. Let's have a fasting. All right. Again, the fasting with results was about getting devils out of their bodies. Fasting for stopping to eat can be done for health reasons. It can be done even for this right here. Sacrificial type stuff. I mean, go down any description you want. And this is okay. And it had prayed with fasting. That's fine. But it's not prayer and fasting. Howbeit this kind goeth not up but by prayer and fasting. That's not said here. And they went out and they did their thing, and they went down at the bottom, verse 27, and had gathered the church. That's all the Christians. That's not the local assembly there. Gathered the church. That's the people that are following the risen Savior. They rehearsed all that God had done with them and how he had opened the door of faith unto the Gentiles. That would have been a fantastic testimony time. And so, sure, there was fasting involved. But again, it wasn't the miraculous stuff. Now, let's go to Acts chapter 27. I'll show you some more here. Acts chapter 27. Paul fasted. There was fasting in Paul's talks here. But is he telling us to pray and fast in a matter to get rid of the devils in us? He's telling us if you want to send somebody off and you want to fast, go ahead and fast. I mean, whatever. Fasting does take place, and it's okay. Now, here we are in Acts chapter 27, verse 33. This is one of my favorite chapters about the life of Paul. It's this shipwreck. This is where, you know what I just realized? I'm thinking we're not going to get past fasting today. And we'll have to do the foot washing thing tomorrow. I can already see it coming. We're up to 20 minutes already, and I'm just talking about fasting, so we got a couple more verses to go here. Oh, I should plan ahead. Anyway, Acts 27, we're going to go to 33. This chapter is where Paul gets on a ship, and the ship takes off into the weather that Paul knows they shouldn't be going. There's going to be a problem here. And he tells these people about it, and the bosses of the ship don't listen to him, and this thing gets into a big mess, and they finally listen to Paul, and the ship still crashes, but everybody is saved physically, and Paul's teachings in this chapter are spectacular. It's just, you just got to picture this thing. So we'll just do a couple of verses. I could do a program just on Acts chapter 27. Maybe I should sometime. It's a really enjoyable story. Let's go to verse 6 for one thing, Acts chapter 27, verse 6. Notice that the ship that Paul gets into is a ship of Alexandria. Do you know Alexandria and Antioch? Yeah, we probably have to talk about this. I might write this down on my program list here. There's some significance to Paul getting on a ship of Alexandria. Anyway, we go to verse 9, for example. Now, when much time was spent, and when sailing was now dangerous because of the fast was now already passed. Now that's not talking about eating fast. They didn't have a fast all of a sudden. 10th day, 7th month, sometime in October kind of a thing. But they're not talking about having a specific fast when they got on the ship. So don't let that trick you. Paul admonished them though. And said unto them, sirs, I perceive that this voyage will be with hurt and much damage, not only of the lading and ship, but also of our lives. Nevertheless, the centurion believed the master and the owner of the ship more than those things which were spoken by Paul. See, that's the way it is today. Oh, I'm going to want to do this chapter. I better save it for when I do this program. I might do this program after we do foot washing if we ever get to it. They didn't listen to Paul. So if they didn't listen to Paul, what happened? They're shipwrecked. Can you sense a sermon in there? But let's go down to verse 21. But after long abstinence, Paul stood forth in the midst of them and said, sirs, you should have hearkened unto me. See, now, can you imagine, I mean, you know, if we could talk to Jesus, he would say, why didn't you listen to Paul? Because I taught Paul when I needed to you guys. And then he comes up to Paul, and Paul would say, you know, you should have listened to me, should have hearkened unto me, because see, the rest of this chapter, that ship sinks, breaks up, crashes, shipwreck. So people don't listen to Paul, their lives turn into a shipwreck. And lots of people don't even know when their ship is breaking up until it's too late. But if they'd have listened to Paul, their life just may have been different. I'm giving away the program if I do a Paul chapter on this thing, right? If I do a chapter 27 program here. But anyway, let's get going here. Let's go down here to verse 31. Paul said to the centurion and to the soldiers, except these abide in the ship, ye cannot be saved. They wanted to jump ship. Then the soldiers cut off the ropes of the boat and let her fall off. And while the day was coming on, Paul besought them all to take meat. M-E-A-T, yep, meat. At least Paul was not a vegetarian, or a vegan, whatever they call them nowadays, saying, "This day is the 14th day that ye have tarried and continued fasting." Why were they fasting? Well, I suppose their ship was wrecking and they were scared. And it's not the time to break out the hamburgers and the hot dogs, you know. Not big on eating. Maybe they were fasting because they were so scared. Whatever it was, they were fasting. And he says, "This day is the 14th day that ye have tarried and continued fasting, having taken nothing. Wherefore I pray you to take some meat, for this is your health, for there shall not an hair fall from the head of any of you." And when he had thus spoken, he took bread and gave thanks. And see, here's the story. I mean, these guys were fasting. Just a food fasting, not anything spectacular. They weren't fasting to get the devils off the ship or anything. In verse 20:36, it says, "Then they were all of good cheer, and they also took some meat." But that's all it is. They were fasting. And if you get into 2 Corinthians chapter 6, for example, let's go to 2. Oh, I sure want to talk about that chapter. I'll save it. Let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. I'd also like to talk about Jeremiah and Nehemiah too. I got some chapters that are my favorite ones here. We go to 2 Corinthians chapter 6. Paul mentions fasting. He mentions a bunch of other stuff too. Let's just go to verse 5. We'll kind of skip the whole list there. In verse 5, he said, let's go to verse 4. I guess we might as well get the context here. "But in all things are proving ourselves as the ministers of God, in much patience, in afflictions, in necessities, in distresses, in stripes, in imprisonments, in tumults, in labors, in watchings, in fastings." So these guys, Paul, these guys, they got into fasting. Does he ever tell us to do such a thing? This is just something Paul did. Do you fast? You can fast. I fasted. Was I fasting to get rid of devils? No, I mistakenly fasted because I figured God would bless it because I fell for the religious aspect of it. What came out of it? Well, I think I lost a couple pounds. That's about it. I felt better. I did a juice fast. You ever done a juice fast? Sure, you can do stuff. That's all we're talking about here. If you go to chapter 11, verse 27, 2 Corinthians 11:27, again, another description of Paul's life. He talks about in weariness and painfulness, in watchings often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness. You know, in verse 30, he calls it an infirmity. It puts you in a rough position when you're fasting. You're lacking on some of your strength. But are you expecting God to bless it? Are you expecting God to get rid of the devils in your life because you're fasting? And yet, you can still do a food fast, not a problem. So what does Paul say about it to us? Well, there is one verse that he tells us that we ought to fast. I knew it. I knew he did it. I know he told us to do it, so I can continue fasting and praying and God will bless it. Well, wait a minute. As they say, hold your horses in Texas country. 1 Corinthians chapter 7. 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse. Well, I suppose you better go up to verse 1. This has a context a little touchy for people nowadays. "Now concerning the things whereof ye wrote unto me, it is good for man not to touch a woman." Really. "Nevertheless, to avoid fornication, let every man have his own wife, and let every woman have her own husband. Let the husband render unto the wife due benevolence, and likewise also the wife unto the husband. The wife hath not power of her own body, but the husband. And likewise also the husband hath not the power of his own body, but the wife." Now, verse 5. "Defraud ye not one the other," you know, with headache excuses and you're too busy and blah, 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 blah. "Defraud ye not one the other, except it be with consent for a time, that ye may give yourselves to fasting and prayer." Oh, so you got a husband and wife situation, and you've got physical relationship taking place. But if you both consent to this, and you want to take a break, and you want to fast and pray, it says, give yourselves to fasting and prayer, doesn't come together again, because you have to be careful, because Satan could tempt you. It says, and come together again, that Satan tempt you, not for your incontinency. Think about this. Fasting is usually referred to abstaining from food. Could this fast be abstaining from closeness with each other, just for a short time? Well, that's quite a series of verses, those first five verses. Let's look at it again, look at it a little closer. "It is good for man not to touch a woman." Why is that? Do I have to get into this? Shouldn't have to get into this, but there's a lot of touching going on nowadays. Huggy feelings, handshakes, you're touching. Oh, stop it. Don't have to be so... You're the one with a dirty mind. No, it's not a dirty mind. But when a man touches a woman, the chain goes down in their little heads a little bit. And they can deny it if they want, but they're lying. Because it follows right up with, nevertheless, it is good for man not to touch a woman, nevertheless to avoid fornication. Boy, that jumps from the simple to the complicated, doesn't it? Just like that. It is good for man not to touch a woman. And I know a lot of men that won't shake hands with a woman because they say, listen, ma'am, the scriptures tell me not to touch a woman, so I'm not touching. I don't want to shake your hand. No offense, da-da-da-da. Well, you got all this hugging going on in churches. Oh, good to see you, Frank. Hug, hug, hug. Come on. A man knows what goes on during a hug. Ladies, I don't understand why you think that's just okay. It says, it is good for a man not to touch a woman. So men, don't touch them, and ladies, don't make us touch you. How complicated is that? Because it goes right away, because what comes out of that? Well, obviously fornication, because that's the next thing he talks about. And in order to stop that, we better get yourself a wife, and a woman have her own husband. Okay, leave it at that. And then let the husband render to the wife due benevolence, vice versa. Verse 5, listen folks, if you want to consent for a time, want to take a break, and give yourself to fasting and prayer, and I would, maybe this is dangerous to be thinking this, but I would put in there some Bible reading. Because you're praying and you want to talk to God. You want to hear from God, so you're going to be reading your Bible. So you kind of break down some of the stuff you've been doing during the days a little bit. Get some prayer going. Get your Bible reading going on, stuff like that. That's what he's talking about here. But he says don't do it for very long because Satan's going to come along and tempt you. And then if some lady comes up and says, well, how you doing, Frank? Gives you a handshake and you're thinking, ah, that is nice. That's a nice touch or a hug. Oh, that's kind of nice. And da-da-da-da. It's all over. That's it. That's the one place he tells us, you know, give yourself to fasting and prayer. But don't do it for very long or things can really get messy. And in the first place, this is probably one of the things that we need to know about our manner of life. Say it one more time. It is good for a man not to touch a woman. So women, quit making us touch you. There we go. That's easy enough. That's the end of fasting. And that's the end of the program. So we will have to do the foot washing. And program number 71. Hope that was interesting to you. Touchy subject for me, who pardon the pun. Anyway, we will talk to you tomorrow.